Is it ever good to take on something and say, "Blineda, like from now on, I will always"? Like, is it right? Is it wrong to make those sort of commitments? On one hand, the Gemara Nedarim learns out from the pasuk V'chisechta Lindor that if a person makes a neda, it's as if he has built a bama. The Gemara says, "Kol ha'noda kila bana bama." It's as if he's built a bama. It's an avera v'hamakaymoi, and someone who fulfills a neda kila makriv alav karbon. It's as if terribly, that person's offered up a carbon on a bama. So it seems as though the Torah created that idea of a neda and then tells you not to do it. And if you do this neda and you carry it through, even though you mekayem it to some extent, it's an avera. On the other hand, in Parshas Vayetze, Yaakov is on his way to Lavan's house and he makes a neda with Hashem. He's asking Hashem, "Please protect me when I go to Lavan's house." And he promises Hashem, "This is what I'm going to do." And Chazal learn out, mitzvah lindor be'et sarah. It's a mitzvah to make a neder, to take on something, to make a commitment during a time of hardship. So, are you supposed to make a neder? Are you not supposed to make a neder? When is the right time to take on something? Says Rav Hash, making a neder means that there is something you appreciate now, and you're afraid that you will think differently later. You feel a certain way today, and you're afraid that you won't feel that way tomorrow, so you force yourself now into that position. Says Rav Hash, to tie down tomorrow's behavior to today is a problem, because a yid's always supposed to be growing. We don't make decisions today for the rest of our lives unless we have no choice. Why should we decide what will be tomorrow in terms of our growth? Tomorrow we'll be older, we'll be wiser. A yid is always supposed to be growing. One of the biggest problems that human beings have is that so many of the attitudes that we have formulated in our minds began when we were younger. Mechanisms were developed as kids, and we are left with decisions and attitudes which have never developed further. This, the Torah doesn't believe in. A neder runs contrary to something so central in Yiddishkeit, which is the need to be constantly fresh and alive. But at a time of Eitzara, someone's going through this crazy, difficult challenge, when your life is on the line and we have such clarity, when someone's in danger, all the trivia on which we based our major decisions, they disappear. Our values get straightened. Our priorities are renewed. Our focus is different. And then we know what happens. Like, the minute danger's over, we just like go back to the good old confusion that we had beforehand. And therefore, yeah, during an Esara, and a person's got his back against the wall, they've got focus and clarity of what's really important, their priorities right, then it's a great time to take on something. It's even a mitzvah to make a neder and take something upon us. That's great. Just today, I had a story from Rabbi Joey Haber. He got someone in Monty, a rabbi there, got a phone call from a man on a Friday afternoon. He said, "Can we meet, Rabbi? Can we meet?" So he said, "Like, can we, you know, can we meet on Monday? It's quite busy here Friday afternoon in my house." He goes, "No, Rabbi, I need to meet you now." So I said, "What's your name?" So he said, "My name is Max Rose." Rabbi Haber had never heard of him. He says, "Fine, sure, you want to come?" Max says, "I'm going to be there in half an hour." This man walks into the office half an hour later. He takes a seat. And he says, "Rabbi, let me explain." So Max says, "Just today I found out I have a serious illness. I'm in my advanced stages of it. And the doctors have told me that I'll be lucky to be alive for a few months." So he says, "Rabbi, I want to pray. But I'm an atheist. But not only that, I'm a professional atheist. I give courses on atheism. I teach in Rockland Community College. I give lectures a few times a week on this subject. But I'm come to ask, is it still possible for me to pray?" And the rabbi looks at him. And he says, "Let me ask you a question. Do you 100% believe there's no God? Or 5% maybe there might be a God?" So Max looks at the rabbi and he says, "Look, I'm here. So if I'm here, that means I must believe there's 5% chance." So the rabbi says to him, "I want you to picture yourself in a big, beautiful home. And picture yourself in that huge home, and there's a tiny window that's open, a little window. That little window is your 5%. I want to channel your prayers through that little window. Then there's a little chance that from that small window, that window will grow. If you channel your prayers through that little window, there with that little chance that there's God, channel your prayers through that, maybe that space will expand." The man's all excited he can pray, and the emotions of the day get to him. And he starts to tear up. He says, "Rabbi, what should I pray? What should I say?" So Rabbi Heber turns to him and says, "Can you read Hebrew?" So Max says, the truth is, I went to Hebrew school. I can read a little. The rabbi pulls out to him and says, Max, let's read together. And they sit and they read together. And at the end of their reading something, the rabbi says, we should meet more often. So Max says, let me think about it. Max comes back the following Sunday and says, I'd like to study. I'd like to study the laws of repentance. And each week, the rabbi and Max would study the laws of the Rambam, Hilchos Teshuva, the laws of repentance. The next day on Monday, straight after that learning session, Max would go into college and give his classes in atheism. But as time went on, his strength started leaving him, became weaker and weaker, and he was too weak to teach in college. But he was continuing to learn with the rabbi each and every week. Began to put on tefillin, wear a couple, wearing tzitzis, but he was getting weaker and weaker. And one day they're learning the halachas of the Rambam, where the Rambam says that the true teshuva is when a person is at the same place, at the same time, and the same test comes to them, and they're able to overcome it. And Max turns to the rabbi and says, rabbi, I've done so much wrong. What can I do? How can I do full teshuva? I can do full repentance. And the rabbi hasn't really gone answer to the question. One day Max walks into the rabbi's office and says, rabbi, I have it. I'm going to do complete repentance. I'm going to call up the college and ask if I can give one last class. He calls up the college, they gave him a date. The day comes, Max is very, very weak. He walks into the college, into the place where he'd normally speak. And he says, boys and girls, I taught you about atheism, but students, I want you to know, there's nothing more false than no belief in a God. And even if you don't believe me, I want you to find that little window of 5% chance that maybe there's a God. Start to talk to him. Start to see him through that window. And that window will begin to grow. When that 5% becomes 10%, until everywhere you go, you see God. Everything that happens, you'll see God. All that you can see is someone controlling the world that loves you and cares for you. And 2 weeks later, he passed away. He was Nifta. And at the Levaya, the Rabbi Heber said that this man, he died a great man. There's no point where a Yid can ever say to himself, this is me and that's it. Sometimes we get to places in our life where we feel we can't grow anymore. But we can grow and we can change. And we're expected to understand that we can move on from the way we thought from when we were 7 years old. In Elul, in our time now to Rosh Hashanah, is a time to build up our desires of who we want to be and dream of becoming great Jews. If we just want to remain the same person, that's not Elul, that's not Rosh Hashanah. This time of the year is where we sit down and work on the things that we were challenged by. To become a more calm person, understanding person, to be more caring, learning not to waste time. This is a time of growth, thinking on a more mature level, not just being superficial, not allowing your involuntary reflexes to take over, being bigger, growing, it's getting into it, to love it, and to thank Hashem for it and ask for more. We can all turn into bigger people. This is an unbelievable tekufa. It'd be a shame to waste this beautiful opportunity of Elul. This is the real Elul, and this is the real Rosh Hashanah. Good job, guys.